No.
You're good. Working?
Well, good evening. Glad to be here, and as we mentioned even this morning, first day of the year. And I beginning of the year, a lot of times different thoughts come, and there's different even messages that people bring and different things about maybe taking inventory or doing things and different topics that we have. And even some of the thoughts that Brother Doug brought this morning, they're nice thoughts to help us for the new year. So I believe I have a few thoughts that may go along with something there also. Anyway, let's first of all, I'm going to start off with just reading a couple of verses, and then I have a few comments and all to make. So let's go to Matthew. I have just some simple things, but some very important things to bring to you. Matthew chapter 7. We know chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mountain. So many wonderful things in there. And after Jesus is bringing many of these different things, there's just down-to-earth practical ways of living. Look what he comes towards the end. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, the people heard his different speakings, and he says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does what? Doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man." People like to be considered wise, don't they? "Which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not." That's wonderful. "For it was founded upon a rock." But then he goes on and says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell." That was terrible. "And great was the fall of it." You know, we even mentioned this morning that in many of the songs we sing, even in Christmas songs, there's messages there. "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king." People hear that. They sing it. But do they believe it? Do they accept it? Do they live it? Help us, Lord, to be the kind of person that God wants us to be. Some people think they're pretty wise. They're pretty smart. They can figure things out by themselves. They don't need all the little details of the Bible to tell them what to do. And they, you know, they might take some of them, the things, and but they can sort of work it out themselves. But God, Jesus said, if you hear these sayings and you don't do them, your house is going to fall. And now remember, he's talking about a house. He's talking about building a life, building the thing. So that's what I want to talk about tonight, building in the new year. We've been building in the past, but we're building some more in the new year coming up, and we want to build wisely at what God wants us to do. Let's go over to James, and James that has some more things to say. In James chapter 1, very familiar. In James 1 and verse 22, he lets us know, James 1 and 22, "But be ye doers." A lot of people here, I say they sing songs that have messages in them. They do this, and they might hear some things. But he says, when you hear it, be a doer of the word. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Because you know what happens to people who hear and will not do? What does it say happens? They deceive themselves. They think everything's okay. I'm doing fine. I'm not living every little detail in the Bible. I'm not doing all the things Jesus said. I might be doing some. But he says your hearts can be deceived. Go over to the chapter 2, James chapter 2, and he tells a little bit more there in 2 and pick up in verse 10. Look what he says in verse 10. "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in how many points? One. He's guilty. A lot of people say, "Oh, well, I'm doing most of what the Bible says. I'm doing most of it. I'm doing a lot of things." But there's one or two little, Well, the Bible says if you knowingly, you know, and you knowingly disobey one thing, you're guilty of it all. How sad that we have. You know, as I was thinking, we've had different ministers come and preach to us. And we had a minister come for quite a while because of ailments and physical things. We had a brother Greg Tyler came many, many times. And I believe most of you heard Brother Greg Tyler preach. Sometimes when he came and preached, and he would do this, he would sometimes sing a little song or a little thing. And he even talked about some songs. And one of the songs he said, I heard this in the Caymans when I was down there. And I'm going to read it to you. I'm not going to sing it to you. It's a nice little song. And he would sing it. And we've even sung it some. Maybe you remember some of the words. It's called "I've Made Jesus My Choice." Here's what the chorus says. I'm not going to sing it. But the chorus says, "Although the road is rough and the going gets tough, and the hills are hard to climb, I've started out a long time ago, and I've made up my mind that on Jesus' strong arms, where no tempest can harm, I'm safe, safe and secure. I've decided to make Jesus my choice." What a wonderful chorus. I'm going to read a couple verses to you. The first verse says, "Some folks would rather have houses and lands. Some folks would rather have riches untold, but none of these things can hinder me from serving my Lord. I've decided to make Jesus my choice. These clothes that I'm wearing may be tattered and torn. These shoes that I'm wearing may be battered and worn, but none of these things can hinder me from serving my Lord. I've decided to make Jesus my choice. This road I am traveling is a heavenly road. This life that I'm living is the best one I've ever known. So on Jesus' strong arms, where no tempest can harm, I'm safe, safe and secure. I've decided to make Jesus my choice." Now I'm going to do the course one more time, and there's a phrase in here I want to talk about. You know, I've just mentioned building for the new year, and well, he talks about in here a path and a journey we're doing. And yes, we're on a journey. We're on a building of things for the new year. It says, "Although the road is rough," and sometimes it may be. I don't know what's going to happen this year. "And the going gets tough, and the hills are hard to climb." Listen to this phrase. "I've started out a long time ago, and I've made up my mind that on Jesus' strong arms, where no tempest can harm, I'm safe, safe and secure. I've decided to make Jesus my choice." I did that several years ago, but you know, each and every day I wake up, I've got to make that decision again.
Amen. Yeah.
And for the new year, as we go through, I'm talking about building, and my thought is Jesus started out about a wise man doing the things and building your house, you know, building a house, and that's what I'm going to talk about mostly, building a house, a life. We're building a life for Jesus Christ. I've started out a long time ago. I'm looking out at each one of you, and you've been serving the Lord a few years. Maybe Brother David's the shortest, I guess, but you've had a couple years anyway, serving the Lord. That's wonderful. Keep it up. You know, we look back on the past. We're in a new year. We're still here. That's wonderful. You know what that tells me? We still have some more building to do.
Amen.
We still have some more living to do. We still have a ways to go. God hasn't called me home yet. When everything gets completed, I guess he's going to call me home. Brother Gilbert finished building his house, yes, and the Lord called him home. Sister Hawkins was. We're still here.
That's right.
And we still have to build each and every day.
That's
each
right.
And every day to be faithful of what God wants us to do. We're still here for that. The past, we might look back in the past and say, "But you know, the Lord's really blessed me in some of your testimony." And he has. And that's wonderful. But we can't live there.
Right.
Now, we can think about it, and we can praise God for it, and we can do the things. And, you know, Maybe sometimes we heard a message this morning. Something maybe we might look in the past and say, you know what? It just wasn't my best there. I need to do better. And that's good. Let's build better in things. That's why God gives us another day that we have. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Is that 3? I want to go 3, verse 12. Once again, brings some very familiar verses. Philippians 3, beginning of verse 12. The whole chapter is wonderful, but picking up at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. I'm not in heaven yet. Either were already perfect, but what? I follow after. And this year, as we're going through, I want to keep following, keep drawing closer. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, sisters, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now listen to what he says. Forgetting those things which are behind. Now when he says forgetting, I don't think it's wrong to reminisce every now and then and thank the Lord for the goodness and everything. But I can't live back there. God may have been blessed before and might have been really on the mountaintop last week. That's wonderful. Thank the Lord for it. But forgetting that in a sense, not living, and keep pressing forward. I have another day. I have another thing to do. Forgetting those things which are behind and what reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. And sometimes we have to press.
Yes, ma'am.
Who was it said? I know she's not here. I wish she was here tonight. But Sister Darlene said she didn't really feel like coming to church, but she pressed out. She came. And that's what we need to do. So there's sometimes I don't feel. Now, I know sometimes we are past the point where wisdom says maybe we really need to and all, but sometimes we need to press. We need to do what God wants us to do in the things. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So help us, Lord, to be what God wants us to be and serve Him. Because we are building a house. We're building a life. And we want to build wisely. There's people building, but they're building foolishly. They're not obeying everything God wants them to do. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And by the way, all this is an introduction to my... anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to pick up in verse 10. And once again, some of the verses before and after are really good too, but just for time. 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. This is Paul talking. And the Lord blessed him as a minister, and an evangelist, as to go out and to do things, a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another build thereon. Now listen, this is the point that we need to take. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Jesus said, you hear the words, do them, and I'll liken you to a wise builder. So help us to be that wise builder. Take heed how you build. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation... And what are some people are gold, silver, precious stone. That's wonderful. However, some people, they're building with wood, hay, and stubble. They're not doing their very, very best. We want to take and build wisely of what God wants us to do. You know, to build, I read this one time, and there's some, I think, some good points. If you're going to build physically something or whatever, you need to have a desire to build.
Yeah, it's true.
I know there's a lot of verses in the Bible, and we say, I'm so glad I have a desire to serve the Lord. And we do need that. But you need more than desire. You've got to put it in action.
That's right.
You've got to add deeds to it. Somebody came up with the expression that the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, it's good to have good intentions. That's good. And with this new year coming up, we're talking today, and we're saying that our desire this year is to draw closer to God. Well, okay, that's a good desire. But you got to do something about it. You got to put some deeds to it.
Amen.
You've got to take and put some action in the things that we have. So it takes more than just desire. You have to have deeds. It takes more than just promises. Oh, I promise the Lord I'm going to do this. Well, okay. Make sure you're not having delayed promises. Somebody said a delayed promise is, can turn into be disobedience if you're not careful. Remember the one Jesus said, a man had two sons, and he told one son to go and work. And he said, okay, I'll go work. But he never did. The other son said, no, I'm not going to do that. But a little later, he thought about it. He says, you know what? I'm going to go and do it. And he says, which one really did it? So we can say promises and all. Help us make sure that we put actions in it, deeds. We put productivity into it. It's one thing to hear, but we also need to have obedience. It's one thing to have a good plan. I'm glad for the Word of God. I'm glad for the things, the plans. But you need more than just plans. You have to have actions. You know, a person can go out and have a blueprint, and he sees this land there, and he has this blueprint for a mansion to be built. Well, as long as that blueprint just stays in his hand and they don't get any materials, help us, Lord, to put the things in action to be what God wants us to be in all the things. Now, I'm glad for the foundation of Jesus Christ. I'm glad for the words. But I also want to talk about some things of building that we have on it. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 9. And this is some of the points. And once again, I don't know how far I'm going to get with this all today and tonight. In Proverbs chapter 9, and just look at verse 1. Proverbs 9 and 1, wisdom. Remember we started talking, Jesus said, a wise person hears and obeys. Well, wisdom hath builded her house. And how is wisdom building a house? She hath hewn out what? Seven pillars, not pillows, but pillars. She's hewn them out. He's using the word seven, and I guess you can think of seven. I've got actually seven or eight things, but I'm going to bring several of them hopefully tonight. Seven, I guess it can be also a universal number. What are some really important pillars to build upon? Wisdom. You know, wisdom is making the correct decision for the present time. And, you know, we need to realize, and I do from time to time acknowledge to God, Lord, I lack wisdom. I tell the Lord that in many things. Even in physical conditions with my back, I tell the Lord, I don't know what to do. I've went here. What should I do? Should I consult another doctor? Should I do that? I do that for physical things. I do that for anything. And I believe we do it in any kind of major purchases we have, and maybe a home, a car, or any kind of decisions. I tell the Lord, and I really mean it, Lord, I lack wisdom. I really don't know what the best thing is, but you do. Please help me. And you know, God said that if we would acknowledge him, he would help us direct our paths. Amen. And I say he's done it over and over and over in my life. So wisdom hath builded her house. And Lord, help me. I want to be wise, but I don't know myself. I'm not on my doings. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. Amen. I believe that even says it over in James 1. If any man lack wisdom, what should they do? Amen. James says, ask the Lord. Ask God for help. Wisdom in doing it. As I mentioned, I'm talking about building for this new year as we go through. Lord, I need wisdom on each and every day of just how I need to obey your word. I need to do the things and make wise decisions as they come up. And decisions come up. Some little ones and some big ones. We need to, Lord, help us from the guidance in each one. We're living our lives how many days at a time? One day at a time. That's all we have. So help us to do that. We're building our life. We're building this house that God has. We're making decisions. We're forming attitudes. We have attitudes about things, don't we? And I'll tell you, I don't know if it's because I've noticed the devil just attacked me in many different thoughts in things, and even questioning, well, you're not really saved, and what about this, and I just have to say, Lord, I'm presenting it to you. And I look out sometimes of people and situations, and I say, Lord, I don't understand. And you know what? In many things, I don't have to judge. I don't have to make a decision. I look out upon even the church world, the Church of God world, and I don't have to make a decision of who's right and wrong. You know that? God does. It's His church. He said, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, what? The Lord knows every single one that's saved. And He knows every one that's not. And He's going to take care of it. He's going to judge properly. I'm not the judge. I just need the Lord, what You want me to do. So help me, Lord, my attitudes, the duties I have, the deeds I do, everything about my life. I want to be wise in what You want me to do. We already mentioned about Jesus saying the wise man built his house upon a rock, the sayings of Jesus. We know there's only one sure foundation, that's Jesus Christ. And we need to build our life upon Him. One thing we need to know too, there are some things that are essential beginning points. One essential beginning point in building, He said, wisdom hath built their house and has hewn out some pillars. What's a pillar?
Support.
It's a support. You know, in buildings, and I know a little bit, but not a whole lot, there are some places and some walls and some things, what do they call them? Load-bearing, don't they?
Yes.
Those, you better be careful when you deal with a load-bearing wall, a structure in a house. There's some things you can change around, not to. There are some things that are critical. One very, very important critical thing is the fear of God. The Bible in several places, I believe in Proverbs and maybe in Psalms and all, says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. The fear of God. If people don't have the fear of God, it's not going to be right. We know that's the fear is from the beginning. That's fear of the Lord is the beginning. I believe in Ecclesiastes, he ends up and says, let's hear the conclusion. Let's hear the end. Well, what's the end? Fear God and keep His commandments. The fear of God. I think that's one of the pillars that are so vital that we have. We need to have a... And this fear is a respect for God and to obey Him and the things that we have. So fear of God is so, so beautiful that we have. Sad to say, some people are building their homes. They're putting a lot of effort into some things, but yet we know it's not going to stand because they're not keeping all the words of Jesus that we have. We don't want to suffer loss. We want to take and be what God wants us to be. Pillars support a building. They are the load bearing and they hold it up. And I'm glad that we have some things, some guidelines. I've mentioned before something called a blueprint. When people go out to build something, I know in the physical and all, they have a blueprint. Well, I'm glad for the Word of God, the teachings of Jesus that we have, and we can serve them and do those as God wants us to do. All right, I mentioned the fear of God. I'm going to mention a couple other things. And listen to them. Each one of these that I'm talking about could be a whole message in themselves. Someone says, a really good minister could take a little topic and really expound on it. I don't feel I'm that. I sometimes feel like I have this real big topic and I scratch the surface. And that's I'll bring it to you the best the Lord has given to me. But each one of the topics I'm bringing, like even the fear of God, that could be a whole message, how important that is. Another one that's so important, I think you're probably going to know what I'm talking about, the love of God. How important is the love of God? Is love. And I'm talking about love for God, and not only love for God, but love for others. Matthew chapter 22. As I said, I'm going to be going over some pillars. I've got several down, and we'll talk. I don't know if I'm going to get to all of them for time. I don't want to keep you real, real long, but we want to go through some tonight. But over in Matthew, right now I'm talking about the pillar of love. Matthew chapter 22. And let's pick up with verse 35. Matthew 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, he has to be a fairly intelligent person, asked him a question, tempted him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus, now sometimes Jesus would, that he knew that they were trying to trick him and all, but Jesus answered him very bluntly and very to the point and very correctly. Then said Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God," how? "With all your heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." I believe there's another verse somewhere that includes the word might in there. "This is the first and great commandment." I'm talking about a pillar, a support. You take this away and the house is going to fall. And I'm talking about love, not just saying words. A lot of people say, "Oh, I love, I love, I love." But they're not doing it. Jesus said, "If you really love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll do what I tell you in the things." So he said here, "This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So as I talk about this one a little bit, and even as I talk about some of the other pillars, I want to tell you, love is the basics for all the things that we have. The great love, the greatest commandment of all that we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And by the way, in this love, there was a, remember, you know the story, and I don't have it written down here, but the story of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Well, keep the commandments." "Oh yeah, I'm keeping the commandments." But what was he lacking? Loving God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, because he loved his possessions more than he loved God. And he didn't want to get rid of his possessions that he had. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, very familiar couple of verses. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. The whole chapter is wonderful. We call it the love chapter. But 1 Corinthians 13, we'll read a few verses. Verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels." Boy, people say, that's impressive, isn't it? "And have not charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." I'm talking about a pillar. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I may remove mountains, and have not charity, I am what? Nothing." The house is going to crumble. The house is going to go down. "And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Charity, he goes on different things about it. But let's drop down to the very last verse. Most people know this by heart. "And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Now, he mentions three, and we're going to talk about each one of them. I'm talking about charity, love right now, but those other two are essential pillars also. You can't take any one of them away or the house is going to fall. They're all load-bearing. They're all support. They're all things that are absolutely essential to make be pleasing in the sight of God. But he said charity is the greatest one of all. In place in Romans tells us that love worketh no ill. Wow. It works what?
No ill.
If something's going wrong and there's some kind of ill, some kind of hurt, some kind of thing, there's some lacking of love. It says that love is a fulfilling of the law of God. In John 13, one place it says, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." He said we're supposed to love our neighbor how much? A little bit? You're supposed to love our neighbor as ourself. That much. In one place it says over in James, it says that love is a royal law. Royal. It's a high law, love, that we have. Love your neighbor as yourself. And in 1 Peter, I'm just, some of these, I'm just not reading the whole verse, just for time a little bit. In 1 Peter 4 and 8, it says, above all things. This is the top thing, the top priority of everything. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. The love of God. Some people say, that's another thought. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we need love. And as I said, not just word love, but real love for God. I already mentioned three things there, and I want to talk about each one a little bit. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest is charity. So charity is the greatest and most important, but we can't take the other ones away either. Faith. Can we take faith away and the house is going to stand, our spiritual house? No. We know what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and read just a couple verses. How important is faith? We can't throw that out the window. If we take and destroy that, boy, that's going to be bad. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And that's another one. We're going to talk about faith, hope, and charity. Hope is very, very important also. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Drop down. Though through faith we understand some things. A lot of people, and I like science. I taught science. I like to look out at the universe. I like to look at the plants. I like to look at nature. And I marvel at what God's done. But I can't see evolution in any of that. You know why? I'm looking at it through faith. Yes, I'm looking at it through science, but when I see science, I also realize there's faith. By faith, we understand some things. It's sad that there's some very intelligent scientists. They say they're atheists. I don't understand that, but that's what they say. Was that Stephen Hawking that passed away? I think he was an atheist. Someone told me in there. That's sad. But you know what? He didn't have faith. By faith, I understand some things. And by faith, we understand the worlds were made. Yes, I understand the world. And I believe firmly that God spoke it into existence. Let there be. And there was. But through faith, we understand the worlds were framed. What? By the word of God. So that the things which are seen. See, this is what they don't understand. All they're doing is looking through things through a microscope, through a telescope. And what's that new Webb telescope they have out there? It's amazing what they're seeing. But they're looking at things. But you know what? The things we can see, they weren't just made. They were made with things that we can't see. What's he say? And I understand this by the way. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And he goes on down the different ones that we have. And we come down to the verse 6. And look what it says in verse 6. But without faith, it's what? What's the word impossible mean? Without faith, I'm talking about a pillar. You take away faith and the house is going to crumble spiritually. It's not going to be, the greatest is going to be the fall. But by faith, but without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Yeah. How do the just holy people live? There's a couple verses in the Bible that says the just shall live by faith. We live by faith, don't we, each and every day. That's in Hebrews 10:38, it's one of them. So love. We talked about the fear of God, the love of God, the faith, and we have hope. And this hope isn't I hope so. You know, it's an assurance. I'm glad for this settled hope. It's an anchor to the soul. Yeah. I haven't had a whole lot of boating experience. We've had some of you. You get the anchor down. Sometimes it takes a while to get that anchor. But if that anchor is there, it's going to hold. And I'm glad hope. That we have. It's an anchor to the soul that we have. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Hebrews 6 and 18, we'll just read a couple verses of hope. Hebrews 6, verse 18. That by two immutable things. That's two things that cannot be changed. They're permanent. They are established. Two immutable things, not just one. God wanted us to have such a hope, such an assurance. There's two immutable things, and we're not going through it, in which it was impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Saints of God, is heaven really out there? God can't lie. If God said it's there, it's there. God's not lying. God's not playing with our minds. It's really there. Is God going to give us grace and going to help us in temptation? Yes, he's going to do it. And he's going to. We can have hope. We can have consolation. We can have assurance that God's going to see us through. I know we battle the devil. He tries to get our minds all battled and things. And we have to say, Lord, help us in the things. Help us to keep this hope set before us. It's a hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast. It's not going to waver. Help us to keep the faith and to keep the hope that God wants us to have in all the things. Yes. First John chapter 3. Talking still some more about the hope that we have. St. John chapter 3. And we'll pick up with verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope, you have that hope? Oh, I want to see him. Amen. Look upon his face. I want to take him be there. And he's promised, if I'll be faithful. What did he say in St. John? I don't think I've written down, but St. John, was it chapter 14? Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. I went to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. God's telling us the truth. Amen. And we can have this as a hope. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Thank the Lord. You know what? Hope keeps us encouraged in bad times. I don't know all the details and the things about those people over in Ukraine, but seems like they have some hope. I don't know where they're getting it from. I don't know if they're saved or Christian. I don't know, but some of them seem like... But you know what? Hope just keeps us encouraged in the bad times. When situations go bad, I was impressed and it encouraged me. Brother Danny, you seemed to be right through this from the very beginning. Even though when you had a surgery coming up, you seemed to just keep your hope in God and all that. That was wonderful. And that can be an encouragement. So help us. When things seem like they're all going bad, help us to keep our hope in God, to be encouraged. There was a little story, and just to save time, but I think it was during Elisha's time, and there's a lady, she had a son, and the son died, and she carried the son in and put him in Elisha's bed, and she started to find, God wanted to find Elisha, and who was it, her husband or somebody came in and says, is everything okay? You know what she said? Yes. It shall be well. Oh, it shall be well. She had hope. She had hope that if I could just get there, that we had. That little lady that came to Jesus and wanted to touch the hem of his garment. She had hope. If I could just touch his hem of his garment. Things were bad. She had, an issue of blood for, 10 years, 12 years? I don't know. She had an issue. She was sick, and she was, but she had hope if I could just be there. So, Lord, help us to keep the hope that God wants us to have in the things that we have. Look at what Ecclesiastes 8 says. And once again, there's other verses. I'm not reading every single verse I have on some of these. And I say each one of these topics could be expanded on even more. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, look what it says here. I'll read a couple verses here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Verse 12 is the main verse, but let me see. What's the verse say before that? I'll read verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And I'll tell you, we look out, we look at Baltimore City, we look at a lot of things and the murders. Has there already been a murder in this year already?
330.
I mean, since the new year started.
Oh, no.
I thought I heard there was a murder.
This morning, two.
Huh?
This morning, two of them.
And that goes in 2023.
Yeah, this morning, two of them.
Sometimes we look at these things and they're baffling. But look what it says. I'm talking about hope. Even though things are going on and sad things are going on, in verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know something, that it shall be well with them that fear God. Sometimes we look out and we wonder, how are people doing such evil things and they're prospering? Let God take care of it. God said, if you do righteous, it's going to be well with you. Even if we die. You know, Jesus said, I'm saying things that help me, Lord, to take it in. He said, fear not those that can kill your body. Didn't he say that? Because if you're righteous, it's well with you. Even if they kill your body, it's well. Fear him that can kill both body and soul and hell. So help us, Lord. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well. Though a sinner do an evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked. Help us, Lord, to keep our hope in God. Have time for another pillar? Humbleness. Meekness. Is that important?
No.
What's the opposite of humbleness and meekness?
Arrogance.
Pride. Arrogance. You know, there's several words. Arrogance. Pride. And the Bible lets us know that pride goes before something. Before a fall. Before destruction. Pride. There are several things that in Proverbs chapter 6 that it said God hates. There are six things, yea, seven are an abomination to him. And what's the very first one that God hates? Pride. A proud look. Comes from a proud heart. God hates it. We need to be humble before God. If we want to, I'm talking about a pillar. We take this away and our destruction is sure to be at hand. We need to take and have the ones that we have. I believe you mentioned this morning about the publican and the Pharisee going up to pray. And the Pharisee, he told God all the good things about himself. The publican did what? Smote his breast, didn't even look his eyes up, and says, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And God said, you're going to go down justified. I'll forgive you. Because why? You're humble.
Yes, amen.
The Lord dwells with those that are humble, of a contrite heart, and those that are of humble that were them. James chapter 4. James, we have a lot to work on this year, don't we? Keep those pillars. I believe you have them in there. Just keep them going in your life. But in James chapter 4, and we'll pick up in verse 6. Look what it says. You know, these are things that if we put them into practice, they work. They work and God blesses. James 4 and verse 6. Six. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to who? The humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. And look at what verse 10 says. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We need to be clothed with humility, live in humility, be the kind of God God wants us to be. Let me read, do one more, and I have a couple there, but I'll do this one more, talk about a few verses and some things. But I'm talking about pillars, things in your life. We talked about the fear of God, the love of God, faith, hope, humbleness. Do we realize how important it is to have forgiveness? How much unforgiveness can you have in your heart and still be right with God? Not a bit. We need to have forgiveness, mercy, showing compassion, kindness. I put those all sort of together. You might be able to separate them out in all kind of different ones that we have. But except ye forgive others, you will not be forgiven. Jesus gave us a model prayer, did he not? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the rest of it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Help me out with
what?
In earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. But then he goes on and says, what? Forgive me of any debts I have, just like I forgive other people. And we can't have any unforgiveness. If we have unforgiveness to anybody, he's not going to forgive us. We need to have the forgiveness of God. Forgive each and every one that we have. Colossians, I'm just going to read another verse or two about forgiveness, and maybe I can mention one of the forgiveness in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. How much mercy do you want God to show you? He's going to only give you mercy just like you showed us somebody else. Kindness, humbleness of mind, there's meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Now, I do feel there are some things harder to forgive than others. But we still need to ask the Lord to help us to forgive. I know somebody will say, well, forgive and forget. I've got a mind. And I may not be able to wipe out a memory of my mind.
That's right.
But I can still forgive. Forgive that I don't want any ill will to come to you. I want God to help you. I want the best for you. But I'm going to forgive you of what you have done that we have. So he says there to have forgiven one another. If any man have a quarrel against the other, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We won't take time, but over in Matthew chapter 18, he goes through a long thing where somebody owed someone like a very large amount. I don't know, maybe we can say $1 million. I don't know what it is. He owed someone so much money, and the guy went and pleaded mercy, and he says, okay, I'll forgive you. But that same guy that owed all that money and got forgiven went to someone who owed him only a little teeny bit, and he wouldn't forgive him. And God was displeased with that. So we need to have forgiveness for each and every one that we have. There's probably other pillars that God will bring up. And I put down patience, waiting on God. One place it says you have need of patience. I put down doing justly, obeying the things that God wants us to do. Prayer. He tells us to pray always, didn't he? And not to faint. Prayer is, I think, a good pillar. So there's many pillars. Whatever God brings, we need to have these in our life. Number one, the fear of God, the love of God, faith, hope that we have, humbleness, forgiveness of God. We're going to live one day at a time. Yeah. This day's almost gone, a couple more hours. Tomorrow's going to be here. We're going to go to wake up. And you know what? The devil's going to be right there. But by the grace of God, I'd say, Lord, this is another day you've made. I want to draw close to you. I want to keep the pillars in my life. And each and every day, I want to keep building as you want me to do. Trust a few thoughts have been a blessing, a challenge. And as we go through the year, we might keep building a good foundation. Brother David, you have a song?
Page
attention, and trust that as we go day by day, live the year and be very close to God. Any announcements? I thought you had an announcement. No. The sign-up sheet's up here for the homeless for next month. Anything, Brother Doug, we need to mention anything? Okay, let's and then be dismissed at this particular time. Brother David, can you dismiss us?
Thank God. To have this special opportunity for the first day of the year. And this is a very good start, like Brother Walter told us. This is at the time to make our commitment, to make our plans, to think ahead what we will do for this whole year. And I think it is really, I think, a very wonderful time for us.
Amen.
To plan our life and to see how we can be closer to you, how much we can be obedient to you,
yes,
and how much we can be useful to you. And then I think we could be good examples showing other people.
Yes.
See, in this terrible time, so this very downtime, so people are depressed, they are, we can show other people there's a brighter side in this world. So let's do our work, let's follow God, let's pray more, let's be more holy.
Amen.
So keep us in a good path, keep us in a safe place, and keep us have a joyful path towards
Amen.
The end.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.